So, you know, there's no my soul to thy soul. There's but one soul. But we need to practice realizing that. Even with another individual, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? What are you registering? What are you sentient at the moment? What is your perception on all levels? Fusing with that sensitivity which is natural to every being until that sensitivity of the other is our own. And there is no barrier between what we feel and what they feel, what we know and what they know. That of which they are sentient and that of which we are sentient. And this will take sensitivity and practice and quiet, as I suppose all of that proceeds a lot better in the quiet if we're too noisy and too verbal and too full of our own thoughts and all the rest of it, then obviously we're not going to be able to slip in. You know, of Christ it is said He knew what was in man. There were no barriers. He was Vishnu. He was Neptune. The barriers had been melted. He could, through the power of love, immediately merge his consciousness with the apparently other consciousness. This is a very subtle thing. And we can practice it all the time if we are inwardly quiet enough and we can get rid of our own ahamkara. You know, if we're so... We have our eyes upon our boundaries. We're going to reinforce those boundaries. But if we can use the power of Neptune to fluidize our boundaries, pretty soon they're not going to exist, and the slipping in and out of anyone's consciousness will be a lot easier affair. So, you know, Christ, the Savior, the Teacher, and the Divine Psychologist. Think about what's required of a psychologist. You certainly have to know your client, don't you? Here comes a person telling you of their life, talking to you. You're there to make a difference. If you're just full of yourself and full of your own thoughts and you want to tell them something and blah, 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 that you're focused on is in the way of knowing who they are, and certainly in the way of identifying with and as who they are, there will be no true understanding or co-substantiality. There will be only two egos talking. So this is going to require some work. But, you know, I am the soul. Just expand your circle of identification from the entourage and the environment to include more and more and more until there's not one human being, alive or apparently dead, into whose consciousness you cannot slip. And that you, not one of them, that you do not register as yourself, the one consciousness and the one being. We don't have to make it a universal ring pass now. We really don't. Well, what do we know even on our planet? We certainly don't know much about our solar system. We don't need to expand to a galaxy or beyond, but if we can be successful in expanding our spheres, expanding and deepening our spheres of identification, then we can, based upon that success, reach out and in to still greater spheres. So we don't have to go for unlimited expansion at first. We can just stay within a few larger circles and get the feeling of being pervasive within them and of being sentient within all sentiencies. Now, obviously, we're not really doing this factually yet. We're using the creative imagination. But one day, when we are identified as God, the planetary logos, we will certainly be able to slip into our emanation successfully. Even as a master, we will be able to do this with our students and as disciples now who are maybe training those who are newer to this material, we can, to some extent, find ourselves understanding their perspective, as if slipping within their own mentality, we might call it. And thus, through that type of understanding, being in a position to help. I am the soul in which all souls are fused. So just imagine the fusion of all sentiences, the fusion of all sensitivities, and all that fusion being simultaneous, the multi-dimensional sensitivity and sentiency operating on all dimensions of our planet, and realize that somehow the consciousness that you discover you have is a highly expandable and fluid substance that eventually will fuse with all the other sentiencies so that your knowing will be the knowing of the apparent many as one, rather than just the little knowing with which we are restrainedly familiar. So these are subtle matters. They require a lot of patience, a lot of abstraction, a lot of search for subtlety, ability to blur differences, to negate differences, to dissolve differences. The use of Neptune, yes, I think so. I am the soul in which all souls are fused. I am the life. And in that life, all little lives remain. These are great identificatory statements. Now, you know, people who pursue various forms of limited Saturnian Martian religion, and look at this and say, this is nonsense, this is blasphemy, this is arrogating to oneself what only pertains to God. But the higher the consciousness, the more it will be realized that these great statements of identification are true. And the little consciousnesses that are being raised in these more narrow religious orientations will have to just spend lives and lives to grow into larger perceptions where these things no longer seem blasphemous or nonsensical, meaningless. I don't think it's possible with some people to really get these kinds of the truth of these kinds of perceptions across. I don't think so. Would that it were, but long experience may be necessary before the consciousness is sufficiently sensitized, before the vehicles that the consciousness must use are sufficiently sensitized. I was hoping here that I've got a sufficient sound. Yeah, it looks like there is. Looks like there is. Sufficiently sensitized. Swept am I by the universal life. It's a much different I, though, than it was before. And as I sweep, group identified, upon my onward way, the way of God, of ever more inclusive wholes, the realization of ever more inclusive wholes, I see all lesser energies die out. I can access them, but they are of lesser importance. And then the climactic four statements, I am the one, I, God, I am the form in which all forms are merged. I am the soul in which all souls are fused. I am the life, the all-inclusive essence of being. And in that life, all little lives remain. No life can escape the being that is. We remember, God is the Lord, for A stands firm. Being exists alone. Naught else is. We remember that from the six trumpeted statements. These different stanzas, they blend and merge with each other, aspecting each other, enhancing our understanding, each of each. I am the life. See, life pervades them all. What is Blavatsky's statement, in which life is sort of the center of the triangle? What is it? Let's see. Soul, spirit, life pervades all. I guess, there it is. Yeah, there it is. In Discipleship, Volume 2. The Secret Doctrine, where we find the words. Matter is the vehicle for the manifestation of soul on this plane of existence. And soul is the vehicle on a higher plane for the manifestation of spirit. And these three are a trinity synthesized by life, which pervades them all. Life pervades them all. So this statement, I am the life, it's like, you know, saying I am the very essence. It's even as if life is more essential even than God. Life is like a great abstract principle. God still has a ring pass knot. Does life have a ring pass knot? I don't think life has a ring pass knot. Life simply is. I am the life, and in that life, all little lives remain. So no being can escape from being. Of course, none of it can escape from beingness. So none can escape me, being. There's no way for any being, apparent being, to separate itself from the being that I, the great I, am. I contain all, I hold all. And in that holding, that recognition of sameness of essence, of co-substantiality, identification is realized. It has to be practiced. You're practicing the disciplines of identification, the disciplines of the realization of identification. Can be done at any time, under any circumstances, and it's worth continuing during the process of the day until a real fusion in the consciousness occurs, until we can say, I dwell within a world of unity. I know all souls are one. I know all beings are one. Then begins to occur the great unifications. And matter and soul and spirit are seen as one thing, as life. And I am the life. I am the life. I guess people are less exercised when you say I am the life than when you say I am God. So the word God is so charged, you know. It's like you're making some absurd claim, you know, out of pride or something. But when you say I am the life, maybe you can get away with it. But it's the realization of I am the life. This is what must be worked on. And DK tells us we don't know what life is. It's the essence of essences. We can have words for it, but we have to approach it. And remember, you know, tells us that at a certain point, we're not just going onward in consciousness, although we do that, but we onward move in life. I suppose once we reach the cosmic etheric level, in our focus, we have begun, in some small sense, to move onward in life, which means we deepen our identification as the essence. Now, how is this done? I mean, everyone's going to have to find their own way, but I think it's largely through the process of elimination, elimination, as we remove more and more of what we used to think what was ourselves, what used to preoccupy our attention, our lower foci, our lower focuses. As we remove them, there is a great unveiling, and we come closer and closer to the revelation of that which is of the essence. Of course, the journey into essence does not thereby permit you to ignore the world of form. Obviously, the masters set their example in this case. They are on a great redemptive mission, and they don't ignore the form. They do not, nor can we. We have to somehow hold, contain these two worlds of formlessness and form, and of being and actuality, the world of being and the world of becoming. We have to contain these apparent opposites. But, you know, it's a lot better and easier to deal with the world of form once you are anchored in the world of being than it is not anchored. So much of these kinds of discussions that we're getting into are about anchoring our consciousness in the world of being, of recognizing what being is, and recognizing that we are that being. We are that life. It's very intangible. There's really no form to it at all. You know, even the higher arupa worlds of the cosmic physical plane have rupa. They are formed. Even though the forms are subtle and more fluid, perhaps, vibratorily more active. But to say that one is being, one is life. Such an abstraction. Forms are gone. Blotting out all form. Hiding all difference. Blotting out all form. Finding a presence. A presence. And maybe that's what we should talk about the next time. I never know where these things are going, you know. We should talk maybe about presence. Being as presence. Practicing the presence of God. And what a presence is. It's an incredible abstraction. And yet it's a deep reality. Presence and absence. Absence doesn't really exist. Absence is a condition of perception, and that which we are, as a presence, let us say, has been and will be present forever. So we hear of the presence of Christ, wherever two or three are gathered, there am I, there in their midst am I. We have to learn how this dynamic of presence operates. So maybe we can take that up. I've gone through two of the stanzas that I wanted to discuss, however inadequately. There are some stanzas on isolated unity, or some words about it, I'd like to discuss those. And here and there, scattered throughout the rules, are great statements, such as, let the group know there are no other selves. What a statement. Just words, unless the group really realizes that there are no other selves. And I've got some jottings in my notebooks. Too many notebooks. I probably have 200 of them. With a lot of nonsense in some, and some good things in others. Over many years, 45, 50 years. But I'd like to, you know, bring together some of the major thoughts that may be harvested from those jottings. Because, you know, if you have to keep on referring to your notebooks to understand what you meant, it's not in you. So let us hope that some of these realizations can be in us and can be produced at will when necessary and be realized at will when necessary. Let's just end with a reading of the whole thing. I know it's repetitious, but there is virtue to it. I stand between the heavens and earth. I vision God. I see the forms God took. I hate them both. Naught do they mean to me. For one I cannot reach, and for the lower of the two I have no longer any love. Torn am I. Space and its life I cannot know, and so I want it not. Time and its myriad forms I know too well. Pendant I hang betwixt the two, desiring neither. God from high heaven speaks. There is a change. I hear with ear attentive, and listening turn my head. That which I visioned, yet visioning could not reach, is nearer to my heart. Old longings come again, yet die. Old chains of glamour snap. Forward I rush. Myriads of voices speak and halt me in my tracks. The thunder of the sounds of earth shut out the voice of God. I turn me on my forward path and vision once again the long-held joys of earth and flesh and kin. I lose the vision of eternal things. The voice of God dies out. Torn again am I, but only for a little time. Backward and forward shifts my little self, e'en as a bird soars into heaven and settles back again upon the tree. But God, in his high place, outlasts the little bird. Thus do I know that God will victor be, and later hold my mind and me in thrall. Hark to the joyous paean that I chant, the work is done. My ear is deaf to all the calls of earth, except to that small voice of all the hidden souls within the outer forms, for they are as myself. With them I am as one. God's voice rings clear, and in its tones and overtones, the little voices of the little forms dim and fade out. I dwell within a world of unity. I know all souls are one. Swept am I by the universal life, and as I sweep upon my onward way, the way of God, I see all lesser energies die out. I am the one I God. I am the form in which all forms are merged. I am the soul in which all souls are fused. I am the life, and in that life, all little lives remain. Well, I think we've reached now the end of the Waysak period. I like to think of it as sort of the center of a seven-day period, 3.5 days on either side, and I think by about several hours ago, we had reached the end of that, at least. But I sometimes think the masters use the whole month ascending, and then the toward the full moon, and then following that, another 2 weeks of distribution. So their rhythms are greater than ours and have to be sustained, obviously, for a longer period of time. Well, you know, it is my hope to continue with these kinds of thoughts. In essence, they are very simple. We identify as the One. Thou art that. We have to find the way to do it. We have to care enough to do it. We have to find the inner techniques which allow us to do it. Patanjali, of course, I guess he was the master here of finding such techniques, and we are told by the Tibetan that the masters themselves study the third and fourth books of the Yoga Sutras. I think each one has to work out his own inner technology for reaching these states and for remaining in them. Mental understanding is not enough, but it is a beginning, and then comes the practice and the actual process. One has to care a great deal about it, because it's so easy to get distracted by the 10,000 things of a mundane nature, the calls of earth. My ear is deaf to all the calls of earth, selectively deaf if need be. Well, ponder on this. Now we'll try to find some things to discuss. It's a bit like, you know, variations on a theme. We know the essence, thou art that. All of 10,000 books, thou art that. But finding a way of realization that thou art that, that is the requirement, that is the key to becoming a lesser dragon of wisdom, a fifth-degree initiate who's on the path of birth service and has mastered the divine art of identification. Alrighty, I think we're there. 2.5 hours, and that should do it. We'll join you a little later, as time allows, or as I allow time to allow. And may we dwell on these great subjects, and may they be impressive upon us, meaningful to us. May we learn to do what must be done. I'll just end with an om. So that's kind of Adventures in Identification number 8, really 7.5. Okay. We'll see you now. Bye-bye.